on a grain-free diet, not just a gluten-free diet, on a grain-free diet, you know, everybody would be better off.
Welcome to the Phase 4 podcast, inspired by Vishen Lakhiani and Ajit Nawalkar, co-founders of EverCoach, a division of Vine Valley. In this podcast, we speak to coaches and creatives about where they were, where they are, and where they are going. This is the intersection of what we focus on expands, and your story is your superpower. My guest today is Natalie Garcia. She's a multifaceted nutritional coach. She's a return guest, and her background includes being a registered dietitian, licensed nutritionist, a certified integrative and functional nutrition practitioner, and a certified nutritionist by the International Society of Sports Nutrition. And Natalia definitely obviously has the tools and the pedigree. That's a rare combination to help you and to talk about all these things today. And today's a special episode. We're going to talk a lot about celiac disease. It came up after our last conversation. Both of us kind of, I went more, I don't know about you, but I started diving into it and I was like, wow, there's so much. This just needs to be talked about. So that's kind of where I was at. And thank you for agreeing to come back and do this. So hi, Natalia. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, JP. I am very excited to be back and be talking about a very meaningful and important topic that it's not talked about enough. And yeah, just happy to be back and share my wisdom and case studies so people who have had celiac disease that has not been diagnosed with you and anybody who is listening in today.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And that's one of the big things is that it can go undiagnosed. Because a part of it is that there's so many symptoms, around 200 of it. But maybe we can start off by talking about what it is, how there's, if you're born with it or not, and what it does to your body.
Yes, yes, that would be good to start. So celiac disease is one of the most common diseases that results from environmental and that means gluten, and I'll talk about other foods later on, but mostly environmental gluten and genetic factors. You know, for the ones of you who don't know what gluten is the protein in grains. And most people have the belief that gluten is only in wheat, but we have gluten in all grains. As an example, corn, which you can see in my screen, and I have it there to talk about it, has a gluten called maize. So most people think that celiac disease is a condition where the body attacks itself due to the exposure to gluten in wheat. And yes, that's the main gluten that the body will be reacting and making antibodies against itself. But if you're already diagnosed with celiac disease, you want to make sure that you're of all glutens. That means of all grains. And I can talk about that later on. But to go back to it, it is a disease that results from gluten exposure and also genetic factors. And there's very specific genes that can be measured. These are HLA genes that can be measured to see if you do have celiac disease or not, or even what is called non-celiac gluten sensitivity, which is very important that we talk about.
Yeah, even that one, I've heard and read some things that used to be 3% 10 years ago, and now it's 30% are reporting it. And the guy was trying to figure out that if it was because it's in the news so much, so now people are having this belief, hey, am I gluten, right? But yeah, let's go stay where we are with that. So it's a genetic disease where you have an allergy to gluten. And then so if you eat the gluten, then instead of your body like breaking down the gluten and getting rid of it, your body starts attacking the gut lining?
Yes, you sum it up pretty much. You know, we make antibodies whenever something is bothering the immune system, especially in the gastrointestinal tract. We have three immune systems, right? So when the body identifies something, a particle of food, in this case gluten, it starts attacking itself, and that is very uncomfortable for a lot of people. And people get really sick, really ill, and the ones that are not diagnosed, sometimes they don't know that that's what they have.
Yes. So I want to stick with that purposely. So corn and then the soil. And before we go there, though, the gluten, the reason this is close to my heart is because it's an invisible disease. Someone in my family has it, and we all have to make sure we break bread, that everything's okay and that nobody's bringing the wrong foods. But it's a chronic disease. It's on a spectrum, and it can be life-altering where you're just so sick all the time. You're in so much pain, and people don't see it. So nobody, like, it's not like you're in a wheelchair. People are like, oh. So it's something that affects a large number of people. And I think in America, it's 1 out of 300 or something, and maybe 1 out of 200 Canadians, which is a lot of people. Like, that's a pretty big number. Mostly, like, 1 in 1,000 is, like, you're going to be okay if you have surgery at 1 in 1,000. We're talking 1 in 200. That's a much smaller. But with that, so the microbes in the soil, in the foods that we're eating, if we get the good ones, then we can clean up our gut. And this isn't celiac. This is going out to everybody. But if we get the bad ones, the same thing will happen. The same theory of the bad microbes can't break down because you're eating the bad food from bad soils or just all the other stuff, that the bad microbes can't break down. So they start attacking the gut wall.
Yeah, I've actually had cases about people who just don't feel well. They have actually been to the doctor and to a gastroenterologist, and they've done the scope to rule out celiac disease. And sometimes it's not celiac disease. There's bugs in our gut. These are microbes that sometimes can actually trigger an autoimmune disease, whether that be celiac, it could be any kind of autoimmune disease. But these bugs are so aggressive that can actually break down the integrity of the gut wall. So you want to envision the integrity of the gut wall as a, I'm going to use this analogy, as a colander that you use to rinse your pasta, right? And it has little holes so that the pasta doesn't go, just the water drains. So what happens to the gut lining with people who have celiac disease and people who don't have celiac disease but have gluten, non-celiac gluten sensitivity, or this altered microbiota, which is the altered bugs in their guts, is that the holes in the colander start getting bigger and bigger and bigger because the microbes are acting like sandpaper to the gut. So now all the food and everything is not being absorbed. And the most concerning factor of all this is that it can actually trigger a lot of the immune system and cause an autoimmune condition, whether that be celiac or any other autoimmune condition. And sometimes people get too caught up on which autoimmune condition I have. Is it MS? Is it, you know, celiac is pretty obvious, or is it Hashimoto's or thyroid? But the whole thing you gotta understand as a listener and as a consumer is that autoimmune disease is a free-for-all, and it will attack the organ where we are more susceptible. As an example, let's say you are a chain, right? And it will attack the weakest link in your chain. That's why some people, it's the gut, some people it's the brain, some people it's the joints, some people it's their ovaries or whatever it is, and that's why we have PCOS and the joints, rheumatoid arthritis, muscular sclerosis is a, you know, a spinal neuromuscular. So that can happen because of the exposure to certain foods and or because of these microbes that do a tremendous amount of damage without us knowing.
Wow. Yeah. So it's bigger than that. It's like a societal issue. It's not just celiac, but that's where we're going with this. And it sounds like once you can, because of the celiac conditions that you have to live with, some of the people, you end up getting other diseases that you wouldn't get if you didn't have celiac. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. You are hearing things This is actually very correct. So when you have one autoimmune disease, in this case celiac, you have 30% higher risk of developing another autoimmune disease within the next 3 years if you don't do anything about stopping the autoimmune cascade. I actually had a client yesterday who wasn't feeling quite right, and she came to see me because she couldn't lose weight and she was super constipated. So I said, let's do a microbiome test. And when I was looking at her report and going over the report, her marker for immune system going wacko, like being overactive, was very clear. We also measured the response to gluten, actually, and it was through the roof. So that showed her that her immune system was overreacting to gluten. And she also had the leaky gut, you know, what we call the intestinal permeability. And it was just like, I told her, like, I know that you have not been diagnosed with an autoimmune disease, but you're in the spectrum. And when I talk about the autoimmune spectrum, it's the spectrum that goes from vibrant health all the way through gradual tissue dysfunction, where you actually have a full-blown autoimmune disease. And like I was telling you, JP, you don't wake up with an autoimmune disease from the one day to the next one, just like you don't wake up with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or diabetes. These are conditions that happen over time due to our choices. So we really have to take ownership, but also due to maybe not doing enough investigating with our doctors or with ourselves and ruling such things out, because this can be ruled out and actually identified before it wrecks up your life.
Yeah, I love this. So you're saying to go and work with your doctor. There's some simple tests you can do. You can go by yourself, get a microbiome test really cheap. And these are going to tell you, some of these tests will even tell you what foods are good and going to help you be even stronger and things like that too, right?
It depends, you know, sometimes people do food sensitivity tests, and this is a very controversial topic. So some of the food sensitivity tests, you have to look at what part of your immune system they're measuring. Because if you've been eating eggs and avocado or and nuts, let's say, sometimes some food sensitivity tests will pick that up and it will show that you have a sensitivity to it, and that's a false positive. So you have to be kind of careful about knowing what is measured with a food sensitivity test, because it may just measure what's been consumed and you're not really sensitive to that. So, you know, there's a variety of food sensitivities out there, and it just depends which ones the consumer gets, because not all of them are accurate, and I've seen that a lot.
Yes. And then food. You got this beautiful background. If anyone can't see because you're listening on audio, it's just a bunch of beautiful, bright, colorful vegetables. It looks like a rainbow of yummy food. And so if you're genetically disposed, then that's, if you're not genetically disposed to any of these diseases, you can eat certain foods that will help you change the course that you're going down.
Let me sure that I got you right. You're asking that if you don't have celiac disease, that you can eat all the foods that you see in my screen.
Yeah.
So I have something to say about that, because I'm somebody who doesn't have celiac disease and I have corn in the back, and I have it there so people ask me about corn. So a lot of people think that corn is a vegetable, and it is not. It is a starchy vegetable, but it's more of a grain. And one of the reasons that you, without even being celiac or non-gluten sensitive celiac, you want to avoid corn because in most grains, because these are sprayed with glyphosate. And if you don't know what glyphosate is, it's a toxic substance that is sprayed in many crops, the biggest crops. So what are your biggest crops? Your grains. Right? Your rice, your corn, your oats, all that. And I know that some of you may be like, oh my God, that's all I eat. But there's so many other foods to eat. You may have an attachment to corn because maybe you grew up eating corn, and you may have certain memories that bring you joy when you eat something that has grain, or it's just a habit. So take this information as just knowledge from a professional who sees people who are in a lot of pain and who end up with really poor quality of life because of eating foods that are not the right fit for them. And this includes most grains, and again, because of the high amount of glyphosate, which is a pesticide, it's in Roundup. So you know what Roundup is. So you wouldn't want Roundup in your system. It stays in your cells and it damages your DNA. And it's just insane what grains do to our body. And yeah, I mean, how many times have you not thought, I'm going to cook for the week rice and broccoli and chicken, and you think that's healthy? Has that happened to you? Do you think that's, most people do, right?
Yeah, that's what we do every week.
So, you know, like, I invite you that if you are a fan of rice, you know, turn to cauliflower rice. You know, like, I know it's not the same, but it's just, at the end of the day, you're going to develop a lot of inflammation in your body because of the structure, the proteins, the glutens, right, in these grains are very pro-inflammatory. So if you have a lot of joint pain, if you have brain fog, if you have constipation or bloating or stomach pain, or if you just can't lose weight and have a lot of sleep issues and hormonal issues, just take out the grains out and your life will likely transform, because then you are not insulting your body with foods that unfortunately don't love you back.
I love it. So be the experimenter. Try it out. See what works. Take things out of your diet. This isn't just grains, right? You can do this. Some people with dairy, they have allergic reactions and think it's something else. Take dairy out for a week or two and see what happens.
Great question, you know, so, or comment, you know, dairy is thought to be a healthy food, and maybe we've been indoctrinated, you know, dairy for calcium. That's how a lot of, I was invited to be a guest speaker at a conference, and there was a guest who said, well, if we are not to be eating dairy, where do we get our calcium, you know? And I want you to explore where the messaging that you have been getting throughout your life is coming from, and if it is, it still true, you know, because a lot of the things that you think are healthy or true are very outdated. That's why I look at clinical trials and I look at what's most up to date, because that's the most up to date information. So with dairy, it's been found that in the process of digestion, especially with the dairy that it's in this country, which is the cattle, the Holstein cows, they have a genetic variation that makes their casein. So dairy has two proteins, whey, you probably know about whey protein, and also casein. And I remember a lot of people who I used to work with, because I'm an athlete and I was in the sports performance, sports and body composition world for many years, they were taking casein before bed. And that was just what bodybuilders and people who were into bikini shows and stuff would do. But what they don't know, or they didn't know, and if you're doing this, it's just for awareness, is that casein can actually morph into caseomorphin, and that means it acts in your brain and hits the morphin receptors. So it leads to very addictive behaviors. So if you're somebody who suffers with binge eating or just have some kind of addictive behaviors, and we know ourselves better, you know, like we know we have some behaviors that we know, like, you know, I don't know that this is serving me so well. And you're eating a lot of cheese, take a look at your cheese intake and ask yourself, can I live without cheese? And if your answer is no, think about, what is my relationship to cheese? Is it that my mom always gave me a glass of milk with my breakfast, and that's why I keep drinking milk every day? Is it that I used to bring cheese sticks for snacks when I was a little kid, and even now I have it because, one, I like it, and because, number two, I've been told that it is a source of protein, right? So take this knowledge as in a way of reflecting into your diet, and know that dairy has been linked to the incidence of autoimmune disease, hormonal dysfunction, and also gastrointestinal disease. So like JP said, if you take grains out and dairy out, boy, you will be feeling quite amazing.
Wow. Yeah, there's so much, like a wealth of knowledge. I love it. So in your background, I'm seeing also tomatoes and peppers, and I don't want to be controversial, but
no, yeah.
You're about lectins and peppers and
yeah.
So what can you tell us about that?
Yeah, well, I can tell you a lot, you know. So lectins are these natural compounds in foods, like in legumes as well, like peas and lentils and beans, which are beautiful foods. And if you don't have an issue, that can be ruled out through genetic testing to see if these foods are an issue for you or not. If you already have digestive symptoms and you're inflamed, the reason you want to avoid these foods is because the lectins tend to promote a lot of inflammation in your body. And you have to understand that the lectins are part of the plant so that the plant doesn't get eaten. Like, it's a way of protecting itself from the predator, right? So animals can be predators, and we are predators too. So these lectins that are found in legumes and some seeds, and also there's nightshades that are in the potatoes, tomatoes, and peppers, tend to also cause a lot of inflammation when somebody already has a autoimmune condition. So these are foods that, yes, they're healthy, but sometimes they are not the best for you at the moment if you are in the autoimmune spectrum or if you already have an autoimmune condition.
Beautiful. Now that leads to the question, what can we eat?
All right. Well, lots of foods, you know, like all the vegetables except spinach, eggplant, tomatoes, potatoes. You know, you can have broccoli, you can have cauliflower, you can have spinach, you can have romaine, you can have cucumbers, you can have apples, you can have pears, you can have nut butters, you can have nuts, you can have fish, you can have eggs, you can have chicken, you can have meat, you can have avocados, you can have pecans. I mean, you can have a lot of foods. It may not be the foods that you're used to having, but there's a lot out there to pick. It's just you may not be used to eating
this. Used to it, yeah. As you're saying that whole list, because I could see people being like, what do you mean I can't eat tomatoes and corn? And that's what I ate all the time my whole life. And you bring it some of it through the winter too, right? Generationally, like, it's definitely in the staple of America. And
right. Now right. You
just gave back a whole list. So now it goes back to that story about, what's the story you have with corn? Like, was it a Thanksgiving thing that you just love? So now you love corn? And
right. Yes. Always ask yourself, what is my attachment maybe to a certain food? What is my relationship to a certain food? And just think back of your childhood. You may be eating that food because of what I mentioned. You know, it's a comfort. Maybe you think it's healthy and it's really not. And then just see how you do without it for a week or two.
Yeah. And so people going through or have celiac, there's a psychological aspect that they have to deal with too, right? So there's, just for people to know, if you think you're alone, there's groups out there, and go find a group on Facebook or something and join and talk to other people going through the same thing. There's going to be lots of support groups. So check that out too. I know you're coming out with a book, and I want to talk about your book. So I brought a book to talk about and talk about your book. It's similar. This is a recipe book, just like yours. And it's called Keto for Life by Mark Sisms. But, like, let's just forget about the title. He has beautiful recipes, but not even that. Just the science is like, oh, my God. It's so juicy and yummy. And I know a lot of people will get lots out of this book. So I just wanted to share it with you guys.
Thank you. Yes, my book is in the works. I get busy with clients who have all these symptoms. And they're like, Natalia, please, I know you do all this testing. Get me in. So it's in the works. And it talks a lot about autoimmune disease, just like we're talking about celiac, because it's the number one killer amongst women under 65 years old, autoimmune disease. And I feel a big purpose by spreading the word of what you can do to avoid ending up with an autoimmune disease. So if you have symptoms that you've been struggling for years, don't think it's normal. You know, because a lot of people live their lives
being brain fogged or going to sleep and waking up still fatigued or having pain in their joints or having bloating or heartburn. And they sometimes they tell me I had that for life. That's normal. And no, that's not normal. You know, that's your body telling you, hey, something ain't right. So listen to your body and know that there's many diagnostic ways of ruling out celiac disease or non-gluten, non-celiac gluten sensitivity, which is very, very, very common. And it can develop into celiac disease if one doesn't eat the right foods and if one doesn't avoid some foods. So that's just very important to understand.
Yeah, and we just went through a pandemic, and like autoimmune disease, it's not your friend if you're going through a pandemic. So if you can, do yourself a favor. Just the awareness, I think, is a big thing that you said. It's like the information is there. You got to go check it. Maybe now we have to sift through it a lot more than before, but we're in possession of the information if you have an iPhone or a computer.
Right. You know, you can do a lot if you really look at the right sources. I encourage a lot of people to go to PubMed, PubMed, because that is where the clinical trials are. And that is where you can actually see, you know, like if you're just somebody who doesn't have a whole lot of background on clinical trials, you can look at reviews. But at least it will be from reputable sources. It won't be from somebody who has an opinion on something, which in the nutrition world, a lot of my clients tell me, I'm so confused. I read all over to not eat this, to eat that. And, you know, if you want some clarity, you can always reach out. But if you're looking online on your own, remember PubMed, PubMed. That is one of the best sources. Because that's where the trial, that is where the science is. It's not an opinion, it's science.
Love it. Yeah.
Yeah.
How about, have you read this book? What's it called? Oh, Life Force by Tony Robbins.
No, I have not.
Oh my gosh. Try to get the audiobook or something. He reads it, but it's like, it's unbelievable. It talks about every area of health, biology, regenerating hearts, all the new technologies that are already here and like right around the corner by like 2025. And it's just fascinating some of the things we can do now, right? So
Right.
that's another one where like the information's there. And like if I'm listening to this book, I'm thinking, oh, that's going to be cool for my grandchildren. It's like, no, that's happening in 2 years.
Yeah, there's a lot of innovative ways of helping yourself find answers. I remember this client, she was a celiac client, actually, believe it or not. And she was referred to me by a gastro. And when she came to me, of course, I put her on a gluten-free diet. We had to go over makeup. So the ones of you who are listening, make sure to look at your makeup and your personal care products because they may be contaminated with gluten. Okay? So that is very important to look at. It's not just the food. It's is it in your makeup? Is it in your deodorant? Is it in something that you put or ingest in your body on a regular basis? So I went with her through that and she felt pretty good. But then after 3 months, she came and she said, I feel better, but I'm feeling off. Like she was telling me, Natalia, I'm a type A personality. I am a go, go, go. I have a lot of energy and I'm a happy person. But right now, I can't get out of bed. I am struggling to sleep, actually, to fall asleep. I have a lot of anxiety. And even following the gluten-free diet that you told me, like it being grain-free and everything, something's off. I just don't feel like myself. And I told her, Elaine, if you want me to really give you some answers, we have to look into your chemistry, your body chemistry. And that's when we ran the microbiome test to see what was going on there. And she actually had bacteria that was triggering autoimmune disease. There's a species of bacteria called Klebsiella, which is very, very dangerous. And it was identified in her stool microbiome test. So she had that done. She also had a genetic test done, confirming that she was celiac, but also that she could not detoxify some specific toxins that need to be detoxified from somebody's bodies. And she also had all her nutrients measured. And one of the reasons why she couldn't sleep is because she was very low in magnesium and vitamin D. So we measured that, and we also measured her toxicity, her toxic load. And this brings me back to the gut when it's leaky, when it's permeable. Sometimes a lot of we're exposed to a lot of toxins. So if you're having tuna, right, because you love protein, quick protein, right, from the can, watch that, because that can get into your system and create a lot of issues. And Elaine, my friend here, had her mercury levels through the roof from eating tuna and other high mercury fish. And she also had high levels of arsenic in her blood. And that's why she was feeling so awfully. So I just wanted to share that, because that's a true story from a client who had celiac, who already had her intestinal wall compromised and was much more susceptible. And if we had not done those tests, I don't know if she would be alive, because it's very significant what we found.
Wow. Yeah, that's fascinating, right? And now today, that's the thing. I think sometimes people don't, I know people get scared and they don't want to go to the doctor, some people, but the other side of that coin is that people might not know that there's all these kind of tests out there, like especially with the biome. It's so new, but it's so, there's so much science in it. Like it's, right? And even though it's a really new field, it's like, oh, this is almost like the answer to all of our problems. Like just think of the money in healthcare that could just be flipped around to like helping people be good from that.
A lot of cost saved for sure. Yes.
Yeah. So I guess, what would you do? Let's say if someone's had parents, the kids are worried about their kids, they're not sure. And like I said, there's over 200 symptoms, so it could be anything. I guess, like for the parents to go get tested, but like just in a diet anyway, right? We don't want it to happen to somebody that their kids have it, but let's assume that it is. Now we switch our diet and now everyone in the whole family ends up better off.
Yeah, everybody would be much better off on a grain-free diet, not just a gluten-free diet, on a grain-free diet. You know, everybody would be better off. So that would be my main advice, be off grains. You know, if you want to identify whether your kid does have the genes, these can be actually measured. So that's just something that you can do. It's available, and it's just a matter of really, it's not as expensive to look at those genes. And
genome testing you're talking about?
There's very specific genes to measure if somebody's going to develop celiac disease or not.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm trying to find the names. If you give me 30 seconds so that people know what to get. Okay, I got it here. I actually saw somebody because they were concerned because they did a microbiome test, but we wanted to rule that out. So what you're looking for would be HLA gene DQ2 and DQ8. If you look into those genetics, those are the celiac genetics, celiac HLA genetics, DQ2 and DQ8. That would be a very good way to measure the risk of developing celiac disease. And you can also measure other elements in your blood, such as anti-globulins. I don't want to sound like a scientist here, but there's celiac and gluten sensitivity panels that are quite honestly inexpensive and can tell you if this is an issue for you or not. So thought I would let you know about that.
Yeah. I think maybe the kind of winding down here, what would be maybe, you know what, you want to take it anywhere you want. Tell us where you're up to, where you're going to be going, what you're doing next. I know since we talked, you've been on a few shows, so what's going on?
Well, with me, I'm gonna keep working on my book, as you know, to spread the word on this. And I'm actually been on the news a few times talking about autoimmune disease, because just like I feel for people who feel unwell and who try kind of all diets under the sun and who even try drugs like Ozempic. That's something that I've been seeing a lot. People who try Ozempic, they have a lot of digestive issues after they try it. So I've been talking about this very publicly and even appearing on the news on the local channel ABC7 here talking about all this because I'm trying to reach a broader audience. And thank you for bringing me here today to talk about this because I feel we all need to know that we can change how we live our days, how we live our lives, if we make choices that are conducive to maintain that state. Like, we can't expect to be healthy animals if we're eating processed chicken and sausage and bacon, because those are animals too. So know that we actually are what we eat. You know that saying, you are what you eat?
Yeah, I heard it. You are what your eat eats.
Yeah, we are what we eat. So, that would be something that I really would encourage everybody to just take a look at your food choices, take a look at your pantry, take a look at your fridge, and just assess, why is it the way that you eat the way you eat? Is it because you don't think that there's other foods available? There's lots of foods available, believe me, lots to eat, even without the foods that I mentioned previously. And then also ask yourself, are my choices conducive to my New Year's resolutions? Like a lot of people do New Year's resolutions. And what I have to say about that is that you have to be motivated to make a lifestyle change because it's through lifestyle habits that you actually become healthier or the person that you want to be, the best version of yourself. So I invite everybody listening is to looking at your habits. What are the habits that are sabotaging you? And what are the habits that will uplift you or that you know uplift you? Those are really, really good self-reflecting exercises to do. And to move forward, what do you want to keep? What do you want to keep from last year? And what do you want to add that you know is actually really enhancing your quality of life and your day-to-day? So I want to share that, and I've been sharing that. And I hope that you really take this seriously because I see autoimmune disease. I get about eight cases a week, believe it or not, of either diagnosed with lab work or people not feeling well, me doing testing, and then we see the bacteria triggering the autoimmune disease, or we see toxins triggering the autoimmune disease, or we see a significant sense deficiency. This is something I do want to let you know before we finish up. There are four reasons why somebody can develop an autoimmune disease, whether celiac or anything else. Number one, food, right? We talked about grains and dairy and processed foods are going to give you autoimmune disease and a chronic condition. Okay. Number two, microbial imbalance. We talked about that. I gave you an example of two case studies, and I appear in the news because of a case study. Number three, toxic load. We talked about glyphosate, right? The cleaner you can eat, if you can pronounce what you eat, and if you look at the label of your sunscreen, or if you look at the label of your lotion or your deodorant, and there's a lot of apps there. There's an app called Yuka, Yuka, where you can actually screen all your personal care products, and even food, and it can give it a score and tell you how clean it is or not. Because our exposure to toxins is huge, and sometimes that can be the driver for an autoimmune condition. And the last one is nutrient deficiency. All right. If you're deficient in vitamin D, for example, that deficiency alone can trigger autoimmune disease. All right. So remember, food, microbial imbalance, toxic load, nutrition deficiencies. So that's what I look at when somebody comes to me and tells me, hey, I'm not feeling so great, and I would like you to tell me what's going on in my body.
Love it. Last time you were here, you gave us 5 R's. This time we got the 4 reasons you might have an autoimmune disease. Everything you say is awesome. I could listen to you speak forever, but I'm definitely going to be respectful of your time. Natalia, I want you to tell everyone where they can reach you, but thank you so much for everything. This has been amazing.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I love coming here and talking about, nutrition, functional nutrition, because I am a functional medicine practitioner and I'm a registered dietitian. So, if you want to get in touch with me, you can look at my website, which is fnwellness.com. You can also find me on LinkedIn as Natalia-Garcia-RD, or on Facebook, you can find me as nata.delmoral, or Instagram. This is a long one. All domains were taken already, but I am food.and.health.coach, and that's it. I talk a lot about not just food, but components that impact our well-being, like joy and sleep and hormones and many things that impact your day-to-day. So it was a pleasure to be here, and hopefully we get people thinking about choices, day-to-day choices when it comes to food and lifestyle, to not develop celiac disease or to rule it out, or to prevent any other chronic condition.
Thank you. I really appreciate your time today.